I was told prior to coming up is that when you're the preacher, prior to eating, the title of your sermon is Hurry Up. So, with that being in mind, when I was asked to preach here at the conference, I prayed and asked the Lord to help me to, you know, what would be an encouragement to the next generation. What would be an encouragement to anyone? And I began to think about myself after the Lord saved me and after I surrendered to preach and after He called me to preach. And, you know, one of the things that I had to learn that I really wasn't ready for is that after surrendering to preach, me and my wife experienced a loss that your mind, it just can't comprehend sometimes. And I began to think and I said, Lord, show me something for here. And to the next generation, to the current generation, to those who are serving the Lord, the title of my sermon today is The Prepared Life. There's going to be things in this Christian life that you're going to experience that's just going to be hard to understand. But it does not mean that God has forgot you. With that being said, let's stand if you can. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says here in Jeremiah 20, verses 1 through 10. Now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also the chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks, then said unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magor Misabib. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all of Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and all the laborers thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. And thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many. For on every side, reports say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, Peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for being here today and the wonderful preaching we've heard. Hide me behind the cross. Separate our hearts from our thoughts, Lord, just for a few minutes as we glean from your word. I thank you, God, for all that you've done here. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah was one of God's prophets who had a ministry that spread about 40 years. His ministry began under the great King Josiah, who tore down all the altars to the false gods and had stirred up a nation that wanted to follow God. And as we would see that Josiah would soon die and his sons would soon reign in his stead. And to summarize what his two sons were like, they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And all, just to think about all the things that they did, they were wicked. The ministry of Jeremiah started off on good times. But as you can see, soon it would come to an end when Josiah would pass. We could start off by here as making this a note for ourselves. The Bible shows us that you can never take a nation's direction for granted. One thing can change, the nation's direction can change from one king to the next. Now this nation of Israel was behaving wickedly. The Lord said that they had scattered their ways. They were not hearkening unto the Lord. They were back to worshiping idols. They were back to doing child sacrifices. But when God intervenes into Israel's life, when God comes on the scene to Israel, He does not recruit 25 therapists to go counsel them. He does not call or organize 50 self-help groups. He does not get advisors to tell them how to sin and sin safely. The word of the Lord says that God called a preacher. He called a prophet. He called His prophet Jeremiah to herald the word. Can I say this afternoon that in uncertain times, we do not know who the next president will be. We don't know what the next wave of wickedness we will face in this country. But brothers and sisters, we should not quiver. We should not tremble and say, we don't have the answer for this. For all this wickedness, for the answers of Israel, was the word of the Lord. I say this morning, it does not matter if God has called you to pastor. It does not matter if God has not called you to preach behind the pulpit. You should be preaching God's word. If you read Jeremiah, you will see that Jeremiah every week didn't come to a pulpit. He was going about heralding the words of the Lord throughout the nation of Israel. Another note about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah, who was a priest. He had a rich history in God's word. Also to note here that Jeremiah comes from this line of priests. He knows God's word. He had heard God's word his whole life. He had been saturated his entire life. And the reason I keep wanting to emphasize this, because when you get to chapter 20, he will remember his call. So this is a saturated in the words of God. But brothers and sisters, keep this in mind, because it lets us know when Satan goes on the offense of your Christian life, when he goes on the offense of your ministry, even though your parents may have been great missionaries, even though your father may have pastored the largest church to know, Satan does not care about your credentials. He does not care about your rich history in the Word of God. He does not care about how much theology you know. He will go on the attack and try to do everything he can do to cripple your ministry. And we will see that in Jeremiah chapter 20 from Jeremiah. Watch Jeremiah. We're going to see his first encounter with opposition today, though, real quick. When God called Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, we see Jeremiah's call. He called him out. It was an amazing call that we see displayed in Jeremiah chapter 1. But brothers and sisters, this amazing call that he called Jeremiah with, that God called Jeremiah, is the same call we have on our own life. The same calling we have today. Not called to be a pastor, I understand that. But if you're here to be saved today, you were called. It could be praying for your pastor as your ministry. It could be handling the lunch that everybody's thinking about downstairs. Meaning, listen, we are called to serve in whatever facet, whatever ministry God has called us to. God has never called a person out of the darkness into the marvelous light for silence and stagnation. That's not what he does. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 in verse 5. Jeremiah, maybe instead of thinking of Jeremiah, think of this. Put your own name in here today so you can feel this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. And Jeremiah has a struggle with this call that he's experiencing that God has put on his life. He said, Lord, I can't even do this. I can't speak. I am but a child. And the Lord follows up to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, don't say that you're a child. Don't say that again. I thought to myself, as this is an interesting moment in Jeremiah's life, that he would even say, Lord, you can't call me. I'm a child. Yet his ministry began under Josiah, who was called to be a king at 8 years old. And God had done marvelous things. Yet Jeremiah is trying to counter with God as if God doesn't know something about his life. Don't you know I'm a child? The Lord says, say not that you're a child, Jeremiah. Before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. The Lord says that you don't say this, you're a child. For thou shalt go, and I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So the Lord goes on to tell him in chapter 1, Jeremiah, on top of this amazing call, he gives him these things. Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces, for I will deliver thee. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched his mouth. And when he touched his mouth, you know what the scripture says? The Lord put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. I put my words in your mouth, Jeremiah. Here, that he didn't see a change of speech. We didn't see a change in Jeremiah's personality. We didn't see a change in anything else but Jeremiah's words. That's important today because there's a lot of popularity being brought about with people. Personalities. There's been a lot of popularity brought about because he's a great storyteller. He's a dynamic speaker. But what makes a preacher today is that they have the words of the Lord upon their lips. We should get so focused today and not be so concerned with duplicating other preachers. We shouldn't be worried about this, but worry about heralding God's word. From the moment we are called, we should be more focused on having the words of the Lord than anything else. And I want you to get this before we get to Jeremiah chapter 20. More in chapter 1. Here's how the Lord closes out Jeremiah's call to him. Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces, lest I confound you before them. For I have made you this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the whole land, against the princes, against the kings, against the people of the land. And in closing out chapter 1 and verse 19, he says, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Comforting words from the Lord when we see Jeremiah's call. And we say, wow. We see this call on Jeremiah's life, and we see Jeremiah can stand against anything. God is with him. He's an iron pillar. He's a brazen wall. He's an impenetrable fortress. Nothing can bring Jeremiah down. God is with him. We say, wow, he comes from this line of priests. Wow, look at all the theology. Look at all the things he knows about God. Look at all the promises. And for the next 18 chapters of Jeremiah, if you read it, Jeremiah preached his sandals off throughout the nation of Israel. A man who was surrender, a man who was faithful, a man who took the call, a man who took God's promises to heart, just as we should. But now in Jeremiah chapter 20, he encounters Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also the chief governor of the Lord's house. That's interesting. The chief governor of the Lord's house, yet Pashur was a wicked man. Then he heard what Jeremiah prophesied these things. And Pashur smote Jeremiah for prophesying what the Lord had told him to do, and he puts him in stocks. This is the first time Jeremiah has experienced this kind of treatment in the ministry for God. Now, there are many different opinions about what Jeremiah has really beginning to experience here in this torture device. We know that Pasher smote him, but they say the torture rack. Some people say it's a torture device. Some people say that it's a fact that a machine that they would put Jeremiah in that would cause him to be twisted, to be mangled. Some say that it was just in stocks. It doesn't really matter too much. Just know this. Jeremiah was being tortured for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Either way, it was torture. And this begins to break. This has caused Jeremiah to forget his calling, to forget the promises that God has given to him. Listen, but there are days in your Christian life, maybe not yet in your ministry, maybe some have already been there in your ministry, where you have become so overwhelmed by something that you're experiencing, so overwhelmed by something that you have encountered in your life, where you begin to feel like, this is not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up to be treated like this. I didn't sign up for my family to experience this. I didn't sign up for my children to have this. I signed up to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and now here I am, after being so faithful in your mind and being so faithful to preach truth and being so faithful to hold the truth, it feels like that you have been forsaken and found yourself in the same device that Jeremiah is in, ready to quit. And the whole time, brothers and sisters, when we get there, Satan loves this. Because anytime something happens that offends our flesh, believe this, Satan will always be there to say, nay, hath God said. He will always be there to manipulate the call. He will always be there to manipulate God's promises. But we must always be diligent. It is Satan that will come to you in these moments of hard times, these moments where we desperately need God, and said, Jeremiah, I thought you was a defense city. Jeremiah, why are you in this torture stock? Why are you being tortured? Pastor smote you. How do you feel? Do you feel like an iron pillar now? Or so much for brazen walls? What about this impenetrable fortress? Jeremiah, this seems pretty unfair. And as this begins to work in Jeremiah, these feelings are growing inside of him. And he's beginning to experience this affliction. And believe this, that in these experiences that you will also experience, it may not always be the torture rack. It could be a bedside phone call. It could be the diagnosis of cancer, the loss of a loved one, a longtime church member leaving, souls not being saved, some crime or crisis happening in the church. And guess what? It rattles us. It rattles us to the core. And we say, why? Why, God? Haven't I been so diligent? I pray every day. I read your word. I preach your gospel. And I've been begging you to help me. And now this happens to me. It begins to break us. But brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to say is Satan loves these times. Beloved, it's so true. If Satan could just grasp a hold of anything, he doesn't care if it's a 20-year-old sin. If we allow him to seize the moment every time, this is why the scriptures calls him a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Brothers and sisters, I have 4 kids and have watched more National Geographic than I even care to explain. And what I'm telling you is this, is when we're watching the Safari Edition, I have never seen the lions attack the one at the front of the pack. They are always attacking the weak one, the prey, the one who's struggling, the one who seems to be ailed. This is the same. This is why scripture says, hey, he is a roaring lion. And brothers and sisters, when the attack of the roaring lion doesn't work, Satan doesn't run out of resources. He goes back and becomes the deceitful serpent. When he can't attack you and destroy you, he will lie to you and say, nay, if God said, I thought you was an iron pillar. Doesn't feel like it now, does it? Jeremiah, the iron pillar. Didn't seem like it when Pasher smote you, smote you, defense city. Sure don't seem like it while you're in these stocks. How he manipulates truth to bring us low. But I always believe this, that Satan will never remind you of the last promise he gave Jeremiah. Jeremiah, they will fight against thee. The battles are not easy, Jeremiah. They're physical. They're spiritual. But the last thing he told Jeremiah is, I am with thee. Jeremiah, I'm with you. Satan was saying, Jeremiah, hey, you're in this torture rack. You feel pretty alone right now. And there's times that we experience hard times in the Christian life. If Satan can just convince you that you are not alone, or that you are alone. By the other hand, God is saying, I am with thee. But that's not what Satan is going to remind you of. When Satan goes to work, he wants you to feel that you're fighting this alone. After public humiliation by a man who is the governor of the house of the Lord, the same Lord who you are prophesying for, this man is a publicly elected official. He smote him. He locked him up. Oh, and by the way, he's not only locked up in stocks, he's locked up in stocks by the house of the Lord. As if it's even worse. These people are coming to learn. The children of Israel are coming to learn about God at the house of the Lord. And here, Jeremiah has truth. He even goes on to say in Jeremiah chapter 20, these people are prophesying lies, and pastor, you will go down with them. But as Jeremiah has been smote, he's locked up in this torture device. And as he's in it, he's seeing people going and receiving false truths. And the whole time, the words of the Lord are bound up in him to preach truth. This is extreme torture, ridiculed, mocked, torture inside of the place where you feel that God has called you to preach about. Ridiculed by your own people. Ridiculed by your own people. He said, and he reminds us in verses 3 through 6. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pasher brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Pasher, but Magor Misabib. For thus saith the Lord, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends. And they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all of Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of the city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pasher, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried, thou and all thy friends, to whom thou hast prophesied lies. And he begins, after Pasher brings him out of these stocks, he's free again. It's the next day, and what do we see? We're like, yes, Jeremiah. What does he do? He doesn't cower in the experience. He stands up, and he preaches truth. He gives Pasher the words of the Lord. He heralds the words of the Lord back to him, and he begins to preach. But there's something wrong with Jeremiah right now. He is preaching truth because the words of the Lord are in his mouth. But there's a problem with Jeremiah in this moment, and that is that his heart has grown cold with the Lord. How do we know that? In verse 7, he said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. There is nothing worse than when a child of God is still heralding God's word, still preaching truth, but because of circumstances that has happened in their own life, their heart has grown cold. We say it does not happen, but here we see that it does. Jeremiah just preached. He just prophesied even more truth to Pasher. He stood for the Lord, and yet his heart is cold. His heart is cold, not soft to the Lord's call, not reaching out saying, Lord, Lord, help me, I'm cold. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing worse when a child of God preaches the word of God. There is nothing worse when a child of God who has been called out of darkness in the marvelous light has grown cold on God. His mouth is fine. He's saying all the right things at all the right times, but there is nothing worse to know the words of God, to know them and spit them out of your lips, to bring forth the words of the Lord, and to know that, and know the word of God so much to know that something is wrong with your heart. He knew it all, but something is wrong with Jeremiah's heart. You know you're not where the Lord wants you to be. So harmed, so hard, so hurt that you keep pushing on in your Christian life. That's how I see this right now. And I think we've been there sometimes too, if we be truthful. We've been hurt by things, harmed by things. People have made us sour, but we've stopped moving forward. Our hearts
We're still preaching the truth. We still show up to church every Sunday. We're still heralding truth. We still take time to share the gospel with people and tell them that Jesus is the only way. But the relationship that we used to have with God, the heart-to-heart moments, the times that we had, those experiences that we've heard all about for the last 2 days, you have not had them because your heart has grown cold with God. Your heart, the fellowship that you once had, was left at the scene of the crime when your heart was offended in this Christian life. It's hard. Back with the tragedy, you left your relationship. Separated, but serving. Cold and yet caring. Preaching, but not praying. Prepared, but not with power. Learning, but not leaning. The end of verse 6, Jeremiah is looking at all those who claim to be prophets. Look at all those who claim to be men of God, but are standing against him. And it's hard because you're like, wow, the nation is in favor. The nation loves them. And here I am left alone. Believe this, brothers and sisters. As we stand for truth in the midst of a wicked nation, the world will always be in favor and will always stand with the ones who are preaching false truths. The wicked nation will always lift them up and condemn you. Jeremiah says, Pastor, you're going to captivity. And when you go there, you're going to die. And your friends who prophesy lies, they're going with you. But Jeremiah says, oh Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. He feels like right now, you know, Lord, you've told me things and I believed them. Thou art stronger than I, meaning that these things that the Lord told him when he called him to preach, the things that the Lord told him that he would be set over the nation, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, you were so powerful with this call. It was so pressed on me that it constrained me, and I could not resist. Truly, who can withstand? Anyway, truly, who can withstand a divine call? No one. But what he's saying is that God's movement upon him in this time was powerful. And when the Lord moved on his life, he prevailed. But Jeremiah is struggling. He says, I'm literally in derision daily, meaning that people are mocking him for sport. And on the other side of it, it's not just one purpose. And he's saying, everyone mocketh me. I'm not safe from anyone. So in this moment, in verse 9, Jeremiah loses sight of what God has called him to do. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm done. I've quit. This is not what I signed up for, to be treated like this. And I'm not saying that all situations, brothers and sisters, are best to stay in. But what I am saying is this. As we serve the Lord, there is no call. We're serving the Lord that as we surrender to the call and preach the word of God, there is no place that we will preach the word of God that you will not experience opposition, even from your own people. Just preach truth. You'll find out. Don't waver. Even by your own people, just like Jeremiah. But in this moment, something happens. He shuts his mouth. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. Meaning all that he experienced, all the ridicule and all the torture, ridiculed by the false prophets, it was easier to bear than shutting his mouth. As he began to shut his mouth, as he began to say, I'm holding out, I'm not doing this, you have deceived me, God. He realized that as he began to shut his mouth, it was harder to have his mouth shut than to handle the afflictions that this world was giving him. He said, I could not hold out. I had to preach the words of the Lord. Verse 10, For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him. and we shall take our revenge on him. They continued to watch him, saying, he's going to mess up and we're going to prevail over him. The conflict is still true today. Satan wants your ministry, and you may have prevailing moments against him, brothers and sisters, but realize this, Satan is also still today saying, he will be enticed and I shall prevail over him. Some today are here are pastoring, some are not pastoring, but believe this, even if whether you're just a child of God serving into the church which you are called, Satan wants your ministry, even if it's sweeping the church sanctuary. He wants it. There are days coming for you. I have had these moments in my own life where I feel like despair has set in every side, like a fog is around you, where you just struggle to read, you struggle to pray, you just sit there in silence, you don't know where to go. You don't know where to go. It was the word of the Lord that was hid in Jeremiah's heart that brought him out of it. The Lord stirred up in him the words that he had given him. The world is getting worse. Sin is more rampant. Brothers and sisters, the purpose of this sermon today is get prepared now. Hide his words in your heart now. Beg God to help you now to hold to his word. Remind yourself daily. Remind yourself daily how much God loves you and how much God will never leave you. The Bible says in Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet will I not forget thee. The Lord is not going to forget you. In the dark valley, in the middle of the torture rack, do not let Satan tell you Jesus or God is not here. God has said, you're going to this. You're going to do what I told you. You're going to preach the word. You're going to heed to my call. You're going to experience some things where this world will try to crush you. Brothers and sisters, we are still under the curse. But don't ever get yourself to a point where you feel so alone, where you find yourself in such a dark place that you actually begin to think that God is not with you, because he is. Call Christians, call on him every day. Bank on his promises, study his word. You may say, brother, you don't know how bad it is. And you're right. I don't know how bad it is in your life. I don't know how bad it is in my own life sometimes. But the Bible says, Paul said in Corinthians, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but we are not destroyed. Beloved, we have the promises, not that this world will not afflict us, because they will. Not that our friends will not fail us, because friends will fail us. Not that we will not feel at times that we have been overcome by the enemy, but in these moments when we feel like we are becoming overcome, rehearse to yourself that God has not passed you by. Do not confuse your ministry that God has called you to with the desires of what you have in mind for your ministry. Mountaintop experiences are surrounded by valleys. So, to the next generation, to the current generation, when you feel the stocks, when you feel the squeeze, do not begin to think that God has forgot you. Do not leave his word, and his word will not leave you. It does not matter how it's going. Do not isolate yourself from his word. You will begin to, and if you do not isolate yourself from his word, you will begin to see this. You begin to see the burden will well up inside of you again. The question is for us today, brothers and sisters, is has this world seen your burden? Or has the burden this world put on you caused you to shut your mouth? Where are you at today? When's the last time you can say, oh, Lord, you've burned inside of me to preach truth. I pray that we all leave this conference with our hearts focused on showing the world the greatest burden that could ever have been put upon us. that is locked up inside of our bones, and that's to share the words of the Lord. Cling to his word, brothers. Cling to his word, sisters. You have the same call on your life that God put on Jeremiah. He knew you before you was in your mother's womb. He called you. He sanctified you. But what have we done with the call? Not just as preachers, but with preachers. What have you done with the call as church members? What have you done with the call as anybody, superintendent, Sunday school teachers? What have you done with the call that God has put on your life? You're cold. You went in despair. Survived the situation, but not the same. Start out today, brothers and sisters, getting serious. There's more promises for us in the Word of God than we could ever imagine. Get prepared. That's what you have to say to the next generation. But it's more than that. That's what we have to say to ourselves to survive the next day in this Christian life. Get prepared. Cling to God's word. Don't cling to friends. Love your friends, but don't cling to friends. They'll fail you. The word of God will never fail you. God will never fail you. Don't heed to Satan today in any circumstances when he whispers to you, that's just not fair. Neither was God sending his only begotten son so that he could die upon the cross so that we would have hope. Get prepared. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this conference. I thank you for this time. Be with the rest of the conference. Be with the brothers who are prepared to preach. I know my heart is full from the words I've already heard. Thank you for them putting this together, the call that they feel to put this conference together to bless our hearts. Thank you for allowing me to participate in it. I praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.